This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, and welcome to Tech Talk on this Thursday. As we grow more dependent on mobile apps for transactions and contact tracing check-ins, we realize how crucial data transfer can affect our daily lives. Social distancing measures imposed have caused reduced footfall and economic activity, and businesses have to accommodate new and secure ways of transacting digitally. E-signature technology is in the spotlight for providing businesses with a solution to reduce physical transactions and make the move to the digital realm. On the phone lines with me right now, I have a couple of fellows who are going to help talk to me about this. I have Soon Yong. He is the Vice President of Sales of Asia at Kofax. And I have Greg Kroll. He is the Director of Sales Engineering for Asia Pacific and Japan for Kofax. Welcome, gentlemen, both to the show.
Hi, Richard. Nice to be here.
Now, let's begin at the with some basics for people that might not know. From you guys, what in a nutshell would you say is an e-signature or a digital signature?
Yeah. Hi, Richard. This is Soon Yong. Probably I'll take this question. An e-signature is actually an electronic form of signature that consists of a series of symbols or set of characters, like letters, alphanumeric in the digital form, that is attached or logically associated with an electronic document or record that needs to be executed or adopted by someone with the intention to sign it. So this is a form of the use of e-signature. Digital signature is actually another form of electronic signature. It's actually a subset of e-signature. However, It is actually based on a set of cryptographic methods that needs to authenticate the originator to provide a non-repudiation, and it's actually computed by a set of rules that sets of parameters to uniquely identify that the signer as well as the integrity of the data that can be verified.
So each digital signature is attached to a singular person, or rather a singular machine,
if you will. Yes, that is correct. So it is able to uniquely identify the signer and provides a non-repudiation to prove that this signer has indeed actually signed the document, and it can be admissible in court as well.
Obviously, we're living in an age now where there's an awful lot of kind of digital movement happening, digital transactions. For people that might be questioning, how safe are e-signatures or digital signatures, and kind of what guarantees that safety?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Well, firstly, before someone has access to the electronic document that he or she needs to sign, he needs to be able to authenticate, right, from the sender, that he or she indeed has the rights or is authorized to access a document. And this can be done via two-factor authentication, such as user ID and password, plus a one-time PIN through a hardware token or a software token, which is very similar to how we are logging into, say, an internet banking system today, right? Where you need to enter your password ID and then there's a token to prove yourself with a full two-factor authentication, or it could be a multi-factor authentication. So for example, in the likes of a Kofax SignDoc solution, once someone is being authorized or prove that he's authorized to sign the document, there are actually multiple signing methods that can be used to ensure that this person is able to prove his identity, right? In the case of, for example, in the signing process, besides asking the person to type his name or maybe even to do a biometric signature on a signature pad, on the iPad or iPhone, for example, he or she can also say upload his photo ID to prove himself, or maybe even take a selfie, right? And in the case that, to ensure more robust, authentication and non-repudiation, a digital certificate can be used as well. And this entire process, there's actually all this audit trail that's being captured. From the minute that when he signs onto the system to get access to the document, when he proves himself that he's indeed the recipient, to the time when how long he takes to read the document, What signature did he apply into signing the document? All these are all captured in the audit trail of the system. And the beauty about the COFAX e-signing solution is that all this can be stored within the document itself. So there is no proprietary technology that needs for someone to review and to, you know, audit or validate the document as well. And once the signing is completed, right, the entire audit trail and the document is actually sealed with a secure hash algorithm, SHA-256, right? And that algorithm is actually designed by the United States of National Security Agency.
Greg, I think this question is best posed towards you. As a consumer, perhaps, what do you think the benefits of e-signatures are?
Well, that's a great question, Richard. I think the first thing is improved customer experience. If you're making your customer go into an office or a branch, especially these days with the pandemic, that's not a very seamless customer experience. So being able to sign the documents or the package of documents from anywhere is a very attractive thing, and it really streamlines and improves that interaction with your customer. E-signatures also are greener, obviously, than paper documents. You don't have to print anything. And as Sunyoung was indicating, they're actually more secure in many ways than paper documents. Overall, you know, for the company that's delivering an e-signature solution to their customers, they are internally getting faster processing and reduced costs because the process is more automated. There's a lot of things maybe we can touch on later related to this process, because e-signature is actually just one step of a larger business process. Maybe you're opening a new account. So there's a lot of automation that we can help apply at various points in the process to make the entire process happen more quickly. And again, I would say it's more secure and can increase the trustworthiness of your company to your customers. It helps you stay compliant with regulations and data security standards.
Okay. Now, just to quickly touch on things, just going back to some of the things that you mentioned, Sunyoung, about how secure it actually is. One of the buzzwords, obviously, right now and for the past couple of years has been blockchain. Now, is that kind of rolled into how COFAX are doing things? Are these signatures secured on the blockchain somewhere?
I might be able to take that, Richard. A couple of comments. Blockchain technology is very interesting. But I think currently the cost model needs to evolve in order for it to be cost effective for our customers. If you think about it, all of the features and functionality of an e-signature solution like the one that COFAX provides, the digital signatures capability, identity checking, certificate handling, the user interface, the access and storage of the signed packages, none of these things have been developed specifically for the blockchain yet. And so there would be a lot of overhead in deploying that. I mean, certainly blockchain would add value if the parties of an agreement, for example, wanted that agreement to be stored in a neutral place on the blockchain. For example, if you didn't trust your bank to store your signed loan agreement, or if you didn't trust your insurance company to store your signed policy agreement, then that might be a use case for the blockchain. But we haven't frankly seen that the demand for that in the market. And I would say that COFAX e-signatures are very secure, as Sunyoung was indicating. I mean, they're encrypted, they're hashed, they're verified with third-party security or certificate authorities, rather. So security is really not the problem that blockchain would solve, but it could be in the future a place to store them so that no single entity like a bank or a financial institution would have the only master copy of it.
All right. Now, just before we take a break, when we come back, I'd like to talk to you about how Singapore have incorporated this with the SingPass, something that we'll talk about a little later on. But before we get to that, could you just perhaps, between the two of you, give me a couple of use cases that, you know, people might be familiar with?
Well, one of the use cases could be, say, in the case of, insurance, when you're buying a new insurance policy, there are requirements for you to sign a policy document. And one of the use cases is to use e-signing as part of the process, where today some of our customers is already adopting this. And in fact, we have some of the insurance customer around the region that is using this, to get new customer onboarding process when they are able to provide them a policy illustration, as something that they have to go through with the customers. Pre-COVID period was actually meeting them face to face. So going through with them all this, documents on their iPad or their point of sale system, and then it allows the customer to review it and to sign the document on the spot when they are ready to execute it. They are also able to use the same device to fill up the questionnaire, which again needs them to sign it off as to prove that this are answered by them as well. So this whole entire process can actually be captured right on the spot. In the form of interaction, and it can then subsequently trigger the backend process upon these electronic documents are signed. So that's helped to provide a better, seamless customer-centric and user experience when they are going through this buying process. And of course, this can then actually be extended into now the COVID situation, where this can either be done remotely via Zoom or Teams meeting, and for the customer to execute this remotely as well. Say, for example, using the Singapore SingPass or the NDI platform as a way of conducting the remote signature.
Hold that thought. Let's take a short break here on Tech Talk. I'm on the phone line with Soon Young and Greg Kroll. They are from Kofax. Greg is over in Sydney and Soon Young is down in Singapore right now. Soon Young is the Vice President of Sales of Asia at Kofax, whilst Greg is the Director of Sales Engineering for Asia Pacific and Japan for Kofax. We'll be back in just a few moments here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Beautiful festive moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Welcome back to Enterprise. This is Tech Talk. My name is Rich Bradbury. On the phone line with me, I have Soon Young and Greg Kroll. They are from Kofax. These guys are providing Soon Young, you tell me exactly what it is that you're providing.
From Kofax, we provide an intelligent automation platform. And our platform actually helps customers to automate their business processes, right? Through ways of engaging them through mobility, usage of their systems, for example. We help them to provide intelligent document recognition as part of the workflow to extract high value data, from the business transactions and business document, where they are then able to go through a business process workflow for the customers to conduct the businesses in a more secure, as well as a customer-centric, user experience. Right, and ultimately this whole process may be integrated with other connected systems within their environment, where we may potentially activate robotic process automation as part of the digital co-worker to augment the human heavy high volume repetitive tasks as well, and subsequently by completing some of the electronic transaction, an e-signature may needs to be triggered, where then all the signature can be captured, verified to ensure that the person who actually authorized it is indeed someone who have the right to access it, as well as to be able to prove the non-repudiation of the transaction as well. Yeah.
Wow, Greg, he sounds like he's said that before, right?
A little bit.
Okay. Okay. Now, some of the tech that you're involved with, obviously, is used in Singapore's sign with SingPass Security and their national digital identity. And that's what I was going to ask you. So some countries have taken it a step further and have made it part of their national identity initiative. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. Actually, one of the countries that has implemented the the NDI is Singapore. And in fact, the NDI program or NDI platform that's implemented in Singapore actually comprises of various capability that is delivered as e-service to the citizens, right? First of all, it provides them a uniquely identified identity of the person. It allows them to use this NDI platform to be able to sign into different systems across e-government services, as well as some of the private sector businesses as well, such as online banking. So you don't have to actually remember your user ID and password for all the different systems, because you have one, unique digital identity that allows you to do so.
Now, in practice, that sounds wonderful for a lot of people, and for many of us, that might be forgetful. But there are also people I'd imagine out there who might be worried about things like, you know, privacy and this data being stored. What's your kind of take on that?
Well, I guess in today's technology and in today's internet age, right, there are actually a set of security parameters that is actually implemented to help to safeguard all this data privacy. So there are Data Privacy Act. There are technologies that has been implemented to ensure, you know, the security are actually being of the individuals are being protected. In the case of NDI, for example, right, the person who actually needs to be able to sign in also is being authenticated by multi-factor authentication as well, right? So they could be using a hardware token or a soft token itself, right, to be able to provide the non-repudiation based on what they know and what they have as well, right? So these are ways that, you know, the system has been put in place to help to safeguard users' access rights.
Okay, so just a few minutes ago, before the break, I asked you for a couple of use cases, and you gave me one about insurance. We've just spoken a little bit about Singapore. Now, what other industries have started adopting this technology, and which, in your opinion, other industries might benefit by doing so?
Yeah, I'll take that, Richard. Stepping back, it's really, when we talk about use cases, it's the type of process, and those that involve a lot of documents or documentation, or all of those are basically candidates. If you have a process that involves documents and a signature is required at some point within that process, then that would be a candidate for automation in this way. Some typical examples we've already touched on: customer onboarding, loan application or insurance applications, citizen services provisioning for governments is a popular use case, legal operations, internal approvals, maybe employee recruitment processes. Those are all candidates, but we do see some trends across certain industries. So certainly a lot of this conversation so far has been around banking and financial services and insurance. So Junyoung's already touched on some of the common ones there. I just mentioned government. So internal approvals within governmental departments is something we see. Citizen services provisioning, benefits, applications, and that sort of thing. Also telecommunications. So, if we've got a customer, for example, that has automated the signing up for new services that they provide. So if you wanted to sign up for a new broadband or new mobile service, for example, at the end of that process or somewhere during the process, they need to gather an electronic signature. And we see some in transportation and logistics as well. But I think by and large, between financial services, government, and telecommunications, that's probably the largest portion of customers and demand that we see.
And how does your guys' solution differ from perhaps what's already out there?
Okay, well, I'll take the first part of that, but obviously Sunyoung will chime in if he wants to add something to it. One of the key things that stands out to me is how you deploy the solution. So the COPAX solution can be used as a cloud service, or it can be deployed on-premise. And actually some of our, the whole world is moving to cloud, and we agree with that move. Some of our larger institutional customers that already have their own data centers actually prefer an on-premise approach. And then again, others might want to consume it via the cloud. And really a third option would be a private cloud. So we have a COPAX hosted cloud, we have on-premise. If a company is already using one of the big cloud infrastructure providers like Azure or AWS, then you can deploy the solution onto that as well. And that's a key differentiator for us. Another is that what Sunyoung touched on is that electronic signature is one portion of an overall platform of intelligent automation platform that includes really three areas of capability. One is document intelligence, and that's using AI and machine learning to extract business information from unstructured content sources. It's interesting that still today, 80% of the information flowing through the average company is unstructured. It's in the form of documents and emails and written text. And so document intelligence allows you to harness that and extract the valuable business information that will power your process. Another aspect of the intelligent automation platform is process orchestration. So while you may have robots, Kopec's RPA robots, automating discrete manual tasks within a process, we have what we call process orchestration. It's really a BPM, or business process management engine, that allows you to automate the end-to-end process from the initial customer contact with your company all the way through to the completion of that transaction, that loan or that insurance interaction. And so we think that's extremely important to have. And then, you know, connected systems would be the third area. And that's all about making sure these solutions work within your existing ecosystem of technologies, and integrating with your legacy systems, your enterprise applications, via whatever channels you have enabled, mobile, chatbots, et cetera. So, you know, there are other smaller things that, you know, those are two big things, the deployment model choices and options that you have, plus the fact that it's part of a larger platform. But also, we can do some interesting things. I think Soonyoung may have touched on that we can capture the biometric information behind the signature. So if I'm signing my loan agreement on my iPad, we can actually capture the speed and vector of my signature, as well as the pressure that I'm applying. All of that is very unique for comparing my signature later. If I do another transaction, we'll, you know, have access to that to make sure even more so that it's you.
So essentially, the iPad tracks how fast you would normally sign your signature, and if it differs in any way from how it might do, it kind of flags it up, I guess.
That's correct. We can do a visual analysis of the stroke of the pen and the actual, you know, degree of lean of your letters depending on how you sign it. So we can do a heuristics analysis and compare that. And when you add the biometric information into it, it's even more personalized. You know, somebody could forge your signature, but maybe the biometrics is off. We might be able to detect.
Very interesting stuff. Oh, okay, moving on to my next question then. Is this an industry that's growing? I mean, can there be that many different ways of signing a document?
I think you might be surprised at how much paper is still out there. I mean, I bought a car recently, for example, and the whole process was on paper, and including the signature at the end. And so, you know, as we've been discussing, a lot of common business processes involve documents, and still too often a physical signature is required. But I would say that it's getting better, and we are headed in the right direction.
Okay. I've got one final question for you then, guys. Obviously, things have been changing rapidly in the last year. Now, would you say that over in the last year that there's been more adoption to this kind of technology?
Yes, actually, we are seeing more requests from customers who are evaluating the e-signing solution. I believe that this is actually part of the entire digital transformation that the industry is facing and the world is facing. And I think coupled with the COVID situation, it's actually made e-signature somewhat also a priority for the industry as well. Where industries such as banking, insurance, government, and typically any business users who needs to capture and process wet ink signatures. Right, case in point, Grant earlier mentioned about, you know, his experience of buying a car, for example. I mean, it can also be extended to the experience of buying a property, right? Where potentially, imagine if I'm in Singapore, if I need to buy a property in Malaysia, and I can't be flying down to KL to sign the document or wait for the courier to send to me. And the fastest way to do it is, you know, just sign it, using an electronic document using your e-signature. And I've heard about people buying, property now without physically being on site to look at a property itself, right? So I think all this can be done, can be made possible with the use of technology in the areas of e-signature as well. Yeah.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for sharing your time and your knowledge with me today.
Yeah, most welcome, Richard. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, thank you, Richard.
Absolute pleasure. Now, we're just wrapping up here on Tech Talk. And if you're only just joining us now, we've been talking about as we grow more dependent on mobile apps for transactions and contact tracing check-ins, we realize how crucial data transfer can affect our daily lives. Social distancing measures imposed have caused reduced footfall and economic activity, and businesses have to accommodate new and secure ways of transacting digitally. Talking to me about e-signature technology has been Soonyoung, the Vice President of Sales of Asia at Kopec, and Greg Kroll, the Director of Sales Engineering for Asia Pacific and Japan. You have been tuned in to Enterprise here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.